Diabetes Breakthrough.
Hey everybody, Cape Lady America tonight, as you all are accustomed to now, we go inside the Beltway right off of the top of the show. Each and every day we do that. And joining us is the Grand Dame of Talk Radio News, Ellen Ratner. Ellen, a busy day in D.C., huh?
A very busy day in D.C. Of course, everybody's trying to get out of Dodge and pass whatever bills that they can so they can get home for the long, well, it's not a long weekend, but, you know, a lot of Christmas parties this time of year.
Yeah, no kidding. I bet some of them are pretty fun. I mean, are there certain Christmas parties that, as you kind of rise through the ranks in media in D.C. that you want to get invited to?
You know, I used to really want to get invited to all of them, and now I'm trying to lose weight, so I'm not terribly interested. I do go to the White House Christmas party.
Yeah, that would be fun. I wouldn't miss that one. All right, the defense authorization bill, apparently that was, obviously that was high on the menu today.
Yes, and there was a very big issue, and I have not seen the final language of the bill. But apparently the issue, of course, was how much of this was going to be a directive that everybody had to go through the military if you were picked up either in a foreign country for doing something bad or if you were a suspected terrorist. And the White House said that they would veto the bill, that that was not fair to the executive branch to make those kinds of decisions. Apparently there was language worked out at the very last minute, and the bill passed 93-7. So that is, of course, is veto-proof. And the president couldn't veto it, but he got apparently most of what he wanted.
Yeah. You know, there's something I want to kind of throw you a curveball for a second, because I was listening to someone and they were having a hard time. They were choked up when they were talking about this. But the House unanimously passed that resolution that was actually honored Gifford's aide, and it was very emotional. It was Zimmerman was the aide. And
right.
Apparently
they actually named a room after him.
Wow, that's terrific, because that's awful, because he was killed.
Congressional aide. Now, there was a duel in the House floor in the 1800s, but not between staffers. He is the first congressional aide in the history of the United States killed in the line of duty.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Wow. Very, very sad, but I'm thrilled that they honored him, though, and I know a lot of I heard a lot of people were very teary-eyed when they did that, when they passed the resolution. Wow.
So and they need a room in the Capitol after him.
Yeah, exactly. So we move on from that emotional moment to a different kind of emotion. The president released a statement over the GOP and the payroll tax cut. I guess they're not doing that. They're not going with the 2%.
It looks like they are not going to the 2%, and I think that people are rather upset about it. The White House actually just issued a statement a few minutes ago, and they said that, you know, look, they are actually, the Republicans have voted for a tax increase, according to the White House, on the American people because they refuse to take millionaires and billionaires and make them pay for this tax.
Mm. Well, we'll be talking about that on America Tonight, 800-259-5791. And how about the stuff with Herman Cain saying his wife didn't know about his friendship and these payments to Ginger White? I'm sure that's the gossip in Foggy Bottom.
Well, it is certainly the gossip. And what we do know is that his wife is, apparently he said he's going to make a decision after he talks to his wife, and he hasn't seen her in the flesh since he's been on the road for the last week campaigning. I mean, really. He's a little too much for any human being to believe.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be there in New Hampshire.
You don't? Too bad. I was really looking for some fun.
Yeah, I think so. I was thinking the same thing. That would have been interesting, but I don't think he's going to hang around for New Hampshire. No way. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much. All right, and kicking it around with Ellen there, of course, on the Cain situation, you can tell he's kind of laying out the groundwork to quit. It's just a question of when now. The days are numbered. He's made a bunch of comments about the toll that the allegations of all of the sexual harassment stuff, and now with this woman that's taken on his family in general. And he has two options, basically: stay in the race and undergo a lot of drilling and more awful stories, news cycles to go through, or just find a graceful way out. And I'm assuming he's trying to find a graceful way
out of this. I mean, Kane has certainly been anything but predictable, however. And on Wednesday, he sounded like he was thinking that he was trying to figure out a way to get out of this, I believe, gracefully, after the big balloon that he had, how it was really blowing up for him, and then it started to shrink. I think he's definitely going to end it. I guarantee that all of you listening to my voice right now say, wow, that's brilliant that she said that. She's really going out on a big limb there. It's no limb to go out on. We know it. You know what is interesting is the governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, and a big-time Republican powerhouse when it comes to politics in general on the right, is saying that the presidential election in 2012 is the most important White House race period of his lifetime. You know, we say that on the air. I think 2012 is going to blow people's expectations, is going to rock a lot of people. And he says he's really worried about the country's future, and he talks about Obama, because of the economy, will surprise a lot of people, a lot of Democrats who think that he's still a shoo-in and that he's going to lose almost everywhere in the country, Barbour is predicting. And of course, he's the chairman, he was the chairman, rather, of the Republican National Committee from 93 to 97. He's also the former chair of the Republican Governors Association. He does carry some weight in Republican circles. And this is what he's been talking about with the race in 2012. There's a lot of rhetoric going on both sides, power brokers from the Democrats and the Republicans. And you know what? Do you care about what the power kingmaker type people are saying? Not really. It's like when we went through the whole endorsement stuff. Are you worried about the endorsements that somebody picks up? Does that sway your vote? I think all of us are so tired of what's happening. We just want somebody that can get something done. And that's really the answer. The answer to the puzzle is solve it. Solve it. We're tired of seeing the pieces sit on the table. It's like when I was a kid, I never played crossword puzzles, and I think the reason I didn't really like them that much is because my grandmother was good at them, and she'd have that's what I remember about her. You know, she'd have thousands of pieces, so she did the complicated ones. And I can remember going to her house a lot, being in and out of the house, and just seeing those pieces on the table, all over the place, configured in some areas. And it would, as a kid, as a six-year-old, it would drive me crazy. So we're tired. I think all of you are tired of that same thing, of going into the house and seeing that the pieces of the puzzle are all over the place and there's no organization. They're killing us in D.C., killing us. Jobless claims unexpectedly actually jumped above 400,000. I mean, that was a surprise, because I don't want everything is just so bloody ridiculous. But what does it show? That the number of people applying for unemployment benefits rose for the second straight week. So, of course, hiring, especially here you are in the holidays, is very slow and it's very uneven. If you have the weekly applicants, and this is how you judge some of these numbers, for unemployment went up 6,000 to that 402,000. The Labor Department, you know, releases those statistics. So the four-week average slightly, really unchanged. And I believe the overall number, this 9.1, is not the right number. I think it's over 10% in a lot of places. But with the spending, maybe consumer confidence is picking up. Maybe we're spending some money and we're going to help the economy. Odds and ends on the flip side.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
I often say that America Tonight, if nothing else, is about the buzz in your backyard, right? So the buzz on the West Coast, pretty rough couple of days. First, you have the governor who's looking for $7 billion from tax hikes. So if you got some money, some do-re-mi in California, you're going to probably pay more in income tax. And then the sales tax, they're saying that they're going to hike that up as well in Cali. I don't know, honestly, how people who even make a decent wage in California can really make a go of it. I have several friends that live there, and it is a struggle. You got to just hang on to that house. You just have to grip it with both hands. You have to rip it out of those hands because of how many houses were flipped underwater, and this the crazy expense of living in California, even the gas, which is so much more than what most of us are paying. Maybe you're paying $3.30. Maybe you're paying a lot less than that. Maybe you're paying $3.09. I got gas the other day for $3.09, and actually with a gas discount from a grocery store, I think I paid just over $2. It was shocking. It was like Christmas. $2 and some change. You're kidding me. But all of us relate to that pain at the pump. And in California, they never get relief. Never get relief. I used to live there. And that's why I thought, man, I can't live this lifestyle out here unless somehow somebody taps me to be in the movies. And I'm no Sandra Bullock. So I didn't think that was going to happen to me, right? It really is, I think, unaffordable to live in, certainly in the main cities in Cali. Maybe in the outskirts in some of the like Bakersfield and whatnot, it's a little bit cheaper, but not too much. So they've got this initiative that the governor's thrown out, and they're trying to nail it down, and you know, labor unions and others and advocates of it are trying to flush it out. The governor's trying to make it a gentle push, but he wants to put it on next November's ballot and also throw out a whole bunch of tax measures to get enough signatures to be able to do that, to start to pull in this money. Now, anti-tax is huge across the country, especially in in the left coast. It's definitely it is. So this is how it would work. If Brown got his way, the income tax increases of 1% of people with income starting at $250 a year, there's that magical number again, would be 1.5%. What would go 1%? So 1.5% for those who make $300,000 and half a millionaire, two for half a million, and it would expire at the end of 2016. So they put an end on it. But, yeah, they're watching it closely because they've got to figure out a way to make this budget rock for them. And certainly right now they've got a big gap. They have a $10 billion budget gap. And they got spending cuts, though. Hey, California found a way. They got some deep spending cuts. The axe is going to cut. It is going to cut if people like it or not. And they're going to do the tax thing now, too. And then they'll have a surge in probably money coming in with the cuts that they make. So that'll help equal some of that out. All right, the other big thing that happened in California, it wouldn't be a show or a week on America Tonight if we weren't talking about wind or rain or hail or some kind of snowstorm, something happening across the U.S. to disrupt lives. Well, L.A. got it this time. I mean, we're talking about gale force. When they say gale force winds, gusts, L.A. was just flattened. Trees, power lines. Rush hour, I heard, was like a crawl on the 101 or on the 10. And electricity was gone for at least almost 500,000 customers at one point. If you were unlucky enough to be going into LAX, there were tons of planes that had to be diverted to other airports. And then people taking off, the planes were late because it was at that weird time, the rush hour. So you have a lot of planes that go out at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and things didn't really get back, electricity can get back, and the planes completely in the air and rolling until, you know, about 8:30 or so. So you have that familiar thing where you have the hard hat guys who are trying to restore the electricity in these neighborhoods with trees that have been uprooted. You know, trees, big, giant oak trees. I saw some pictures of it, and boy, it was nasty. I mean, it looked like a hurricane actually ripped through some neighborhoods. You could just see it. You could see a gas station where a roof just collapsed in. And you also saw, like I said, a lot of those trees, huge trees that cut across neighborhoods. I saw a shot of, this just shows you how kids are so resilient. I saw a shot somewhere in Pasadena, and it was just looked like a neighborhood. You had a row of little kids, too, where a crossing guard was ushering them across the lines, you know, taking them across the lines, and literally surrounding them, trees. I mean, they practically had to jump over the trees, but seemed completely unfazed by what had happened, you know, completely. And as I said, that's kids for you. We have to take our cue sometimes from the younger children. They just roll with whatever happens. You just explain to them, yeah, we got some bad wind. You know, we might not, you have to brush your teeth, and you've got this bottled water that we have that you're going to have to rinse your teeth out with, and we'll get you dressed, and you'll be off to school, and, you know, that's it. All right, so as I said, this is O&A, one of my favorite things to do, because odds and ends, that's exactly what we have in a lot of situations. You know, for example, in Los Angeles, the end game was, let's get this electricity up, right? And the odd thing was that you had so many trees that had been down and things that were just knocked out, you know, a roof or two that just completely fell over. Well, here's another one for you. The Syracuse situation, so much of the focus has been on Penn State and Jerry Sandusky and what's going to happen there. And the first civil suit was filed by an accuser who wasn't even part of the grand jury testimony, any of that investigation. It was somebody that also had come forward. Well, now in Syracuse, you have the university's chancellor saying that the school would have fired the ex-coach, the assistant hoops coach, who was there forever and a day, Bernie Fine, 8 years earlier, if they had known of this audio tape that suggested that he sexually molested young boys. So, I mean, they have this tape, and you know, the chancellor's woman, Nancy Cantor, is being accused, you know, with Fine being accused by the three men of sexually abusing them. You know, people are saying, get rid of her. How can you have these people running these universities? That are they complicit in this whole thing or what? So on the tape is a conversation between one of the alleged victims, who's now 29 years old, a guy named Bobby Davis, and Bernie Fine's wife, Lori, where she seems like she's admitting that she knew about the supposed abuse. And, you know, Fine hasn't been charged. And he's saying the accusation, of course, are false in every single aspect. But Davis has talked to everybody, given details, all that kind of stuff. And not just Davis, the other two as well that have come forward. But you have this tape that came out just a few days ago, really. And they were holding onto this tape for 10 years. I mean, I think that somebody is owed an explanation of why they held on to the tape. So, and apparently it was turned over to a newspaper all the way back in 2003. The Syracuse Post-Standard newspaper, they had this tape, and they didn't do anything with it. They went to ESPN, but ESPN didn't publish it or do anything with it until more accusers came out. They didn't push it on to anyone, didn't take it to the cops or anyone else. Now, the paper is defending itself and saying that the accuser at the time, they couldn't cooperate, which is Bobby Davis, they couldn't cooperate any of his claims. And it wasn't until the last couple months that you had other people that came, you know, forward. But see, here's the thing. How many lives can be ruined in that amount of time if this guy is a treacherous pedophile, whatever? So you're going all the way back 10 years. And how many times was he molesting anyone else in between that time? And in 2005, the university, Syracuse, which they knew, never told police or even local prosecutors about the investigation that they had going on. Could they have done some things differently? And the chancellor says, oh yeah, absolutely. This was the chancellor's take on what they could have done. We are a learning organization. With 2020 hindsight, everything can be improved. Are you kidding me? Not acceptable. What is acceptable is that we have DaBuddha in the house. We're talking NFL next here on ATN.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GZN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Hey everybody, Alex Jones here. If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, listen up. This will make your holiday shopping very easy. This year, give a seed bank from one of our oldest sponsors, Solutions from Science, to your friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open-pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if we face a real meltdown. And here's the best part. All the seeds in the Survival Seed Bank go through strict germination testing, so you can be confident you're not buying old seeds. Give a Survival Seed Bank this Christmas by going to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365 to give the gift that produces an ongoing supply of life-sustaining food.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Another football Sunday coming up, and another Nail the Score coming your way later during this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Each and every week, we talk to our pal, Buddha Man, the Buddha, in the wings, in the house, from PickNation.com. Oh, my, here we are into December, and we have some good matchups this week.
Lucky week 13. I think I gave you every winner last week. It's a tough act to follow, but I'll try to keep the momentum rolling.
There you go. I'm going to start off with one that I just can't figure out these Bills, man. The Bills are hosting the Titans.
Yeah, you know, not a game most people will be watching. Look, Buffalo put up a great fight against the Jets, and that's important if you think the Jets are a good team. I don't, so I wasn't impressed. Look, at the end of the day, Tennessee has playoff implications for them. The Bills aren't going anywhere. Sometimes, you know, a motivation is a big factor with these guys. I think that's the case here. I'm going with Tennessee plus the 1.5 before it gets too cold in Buffalo.
All right. Chiefs and the Bears. Bears, huh?
Well, I mean, both of these teams are very strong defensively. You got to be impressed by the way the Chiefs hung in there against the Steelers. That was all about defense Sunday night. Look, at the end of the day, both starting quarterbacks are out for both of these teams. Both of the backup positions are also in transition. Call me crazy here, but I'm just going to go under the 36.5. This is going to be 6-3 in the top of the six.
I like that 6-3 in the top of the six. Hey, a team that's been fun to watch is the Raiders, and the Raiders are in Miami.
Right, and the Fish have covered the last five. And they certainly found a new groove and a new quarterback. I see the shirts are over here in Miami where I am. They're saying more is more. He looks solid. Reggie Bush looks solid. And I think that's why you see them favored over a team that I think is much better. I think they've proven themselves on the road as well. I think if this were 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think the Raiders would be 4.5, 5-point favorites here. And I don't really think much has changed, you know, in these teams in those weeks. I think Miami had a cut off to a tough start. They've been playing good as of late, but they're basically the same team. Moore versus Henny, I don't know. I guess Moore is better at this point. I like Oakland here plus the points. I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that one. The Broncos and the Vikings, I mean, this is kind of a who cares game in a way, but Tebow, what does he have, one loss?
Yeah, pick him. I mean, pick him, really? I mean, what is this? Is this the line maker's, you know, perception that everyone hates Tebow so much that they all discount him because they have so much invested in calling him bad? Look, this is another example. Look, Adrian Peterson all banged up. This is another example where you give the Denver defense, because that's what Denver's success is really all about. It's about the defense playing hard because they really all love this Tebow guy. This team loves their Tebow. And the more everybody knocks him, the more this team rallies around him. I mean, it's so funny to watch John Elway give what I call the Botox smile after the game when he's clapping his hands and, like, trying hard to smile, and he just can't because this is killing him, because he knows that if Tebow closes the season on a winning streak, which it looks like he can do if you look at their schedule, a lot of beatable teams, it's going to be very hard to sell the Denver fans and faithful on getting rid of Tebow and going another direction. Look, when they play a team that they can beat, not an elite team, they have a big advantage because the defense gets up for it. They keep Tebow in the game, and he always has a chance to win at the end. I think this is a steal. I think this is one of my best bets of the week. It's early to pick it, but I like Denver pick 'em here.
All right, a steal, you say. Colts are not going to
like taking candy from a baby.
I like those. I like those odds. I'll take that. Well, you know, it's going to be a much different situation when we talk about the Colts. They are not going to pick up their first win against the Patriots. Come on.
Oh, no. What's the line? Blackjack 21 at this point?
Yeah.
You know, I would say find another game to watch and bet. If I had to bet it, if we're putting the proverbial gun to my head, I'm going to lay the points with the Brady Bunch.
Absolutely. All right, Steelers and the Bengals. This is a tricky one because the Bengals really get up for the Steelers. I don't know. If you look at past history, this could be tough for Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, no doubt about it. The Steelers at this point are more beat up than Herman Cain. But look, they always compete, especially at home, and especially coming off subpar performances. When they get beat or when they win in a lackluster way, their coach seems to really get at them that week, and especially when they're coming home, they come in focused, they come out determined, and they usually come out to prove a point that, hey, even though we didn't score a lot against Kansas City last week, we're going to show you how good we are this week. I can't bet against Pittsburgh in this scenario. Cincinnati, I think their success has been a little more to do with schedule than anything else. I I'm sorry. I got to go with the black and gold here, minus the 6 and a pimple.
All right, Pittsburgh. Buccaneers and the Panthers.
Right, holy Buccaneers. I mean, who will show up? The poor guys. They travel across the country. They actually go out of the country to play a game. Then they travel and zigzag across the country. They have had the worst schedule I have ever seen. I think they're going to come home and be so happy to be home that they're going to kick the you-know-what out of Carolina. I like Tampa Bay here at home, minus 3.5. It's time for them to win.
All right, we move on to your Jets taking on the lowly Redskins.
Right, so the Jets stink, and so does Washington. Just the smell coming out of that arena will be terrible. Look, at the end of the day, for the Jets, the playoffs started obviously last week, but their win against Buffalo, life and death to be the team that, in my opinion, is, you know, on the bottom side of brutal. The Redskins, a little bit of an uptick as of late. Their playoff hopes, though, are over. Are they really the spoiler type? Maybe, maybe not. I think the Jets' defense is the difference here. They're going to get after Rex Grossman. They're going to put him in third and long scenarios, and they know if they do that, that with Revis and Cromartie, they got to have a good chance to pick him off. I'm going with the Jets here, minus 3. They're the best of the worst.
I like that. The best of the worst. So we move from that game to a 1 o'clock Eastern kick, Texans and the Falcons.
Now, this is a game that I absolutely love. It's my Rodney Dangerfield special, because let me tell you something. The Atlanta Falcons, they get no respect here whatsoever, only laying 2.5 points against, who's the quarterback? Matt Chopp out. Matt Leinart out. They got the water boy, and I'm talking about the actual alligator with the mama. That water boy. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Look, at the end of the day, you lay the 2.5 points here with Atlanta. Houston is a shell of a team at this moment.
All right, that's a sure thing. Do it.
Yeah.
Falcons, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, because we don't know.
I got a little bankroll from last week. I got a little bankroll from last week with you guys.
So that's where you put it. Absolutely.
Okay.
The Ravens and the Browns, this is another pickup for Baltimore. Do they cover that 7?
Well, the Ravens, you know, they're the schizophrenic Jekyll and Hyde team of the century. One game up, one game down. If you're betting the seesaw action, obviously you'd go against them this week. But I think Cleveland brought it all last week against Cincinnati, and they always do. That's the Super Bowl of Ohio. I think this is a classic letdown position for Cleveland. I'm going with Ravens here, -6.5, buying down from 7 if it happens to go there, which I think it will.
All right, spend some cash. Giants hosting the Packers.
Right, so this is, you know, a laugher, and you know what? I'm in New York 2 days a week, and I'm listening to talk radio. I'm actually in Philadelphia another day, 1 day a week, so I hear a lot of talk radio in all the different, you know, cities. And in New York, you know, the ex-players are coming out now and really, you know, really riding this team. If there was ever a scenario where the Giants would show up, this would be it. But I would say don't be fooled by the hype. Don't be caught waiting for great teams to play bad and bad teams to play great. If you got to figure out scenarios, just hand your money to the bookmaker and forget about choosing the teams. At the end of the day, you got to bet on the good teams and stay away from the bad teams. You may lose a few here and there, but ultimately your money is riding on the better team. You're always going to be better off that way. In this situation, the better team is Green Bay. For whatever reason, they're not -9. I can't understand why. Just everyone would bet them if they were -9, the same as -7. But I have a little sign right on top of my cash drawer. It says always lay 7 or less with the Packers. So I'm going to go with that. Packers -7 here.
All right. That is the tip of the day. Cowboys, can they pick up their 8th against the Cardinals? I think so. Come on.
Well, but let's remember that the Cardinals always play the Cowboys tough, and there's always a bunch of Cowboy fan, you know, fans in Tempe, and
yeah,
that really, you know, pisses off the Cardinal players, and that's why I think they get up for these games. And Dallas always plays bad in December. Let's remember that, too. Decembers are disastrous for the Cowboys. I mean, that's when the whole infamous Jessica Simpson curse started. You know,
sure,
how I feel about that, so don't get me started on that. Look, obviously, Romo's gone from choke to clutch, but I don't lay points with the Cowboys because they don't blow teams out. So I'm going to go against the Cowboys here. I'm taking the points.
All right, taking the points, Lions and the Saints.
Right, great game, obviously. Everyone and their mother saw the Saints once again crush a team, win by about 200 points, the Giants. And look, at the end of the day, that is in this line. And obviously this is a public game. Everyone's on New Orleans. It's 9 points. Shaw is, I think, out at this point for Detroit. I don't see him. He's appealing. But I don't see him getting back in. That's a big part of getting after the quarterback. And even if they could get after the quarterback, look, at the end of the day, it's Drew Breesy for Sheezy. He lets it go really, really fast.
All right, Steve Vooden, PickNation.com. Thanks
was
so
that
much.
Enough? Was that enough on that game? You need a little more of that.
That was good. I loved it. Vooden Man, thanks.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. or human growth hormone support, menopause specialist for women, and joint specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's AffinityHealthProducts.com healthproducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
In 2009, several international scientists concluded the WTC buildings were blown up by nanothermite. So what actually happened on 9/11? An experienced physicist with a PhD in applied physics at Caltech has published an online book about this disaster, National Swindle of the World Trade Center. This factual analysis includes 37 color photos in 7 chapters. Download it now for less than $13 at sealane.org. That's S-E-A-L-A-N-E.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
One more turn, heading for the finish line of this hour anyway, of America Tonight. Hey, a big shout out to Pete, listening to us in Kalamazoo, Michigan, WKMI 1360 AM. Pete, oh, we like Pete. A big hug from all of us. Pete going through some things, but tuned in and listening. So you hang in, buddy. He always had such, I love this about Pete. When he'd call the show, he had such hardcore opinions. He didn't waffle. There was no in-between. You know the gray areas? There was no gray when it came to Pete. He just said it like it was. That's it. And I love that. Pete would probably like this question. I was thinking about this today because we keep talking about 2012, and here it is almost upon us. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, we'll take a look back at the year that was, what didn't work, the few things that did work, the highs and the lows, because not everything was a low, believe it or not. And we're headed to New Hampshire for the primary. Very excited about that, to broadcast from the first primary, because I think it's going to be interesting along the way with the, not just the primaries, but then you're still going to have all of these debates that are laced in between. It's like debates galore. It's like it is like a reality television show. But one of the major players, excuse me, is stepping probably out of the reality show lineup, and that's Herman Cain. We're going to dive a little bit more into Herman Cain because more things are coming out in a second. But before we do that, this is the question I think Pete would be interested in, and this is one I'm interested in. When you look at these presidential candidates, because no matter what your stripes are, Obama's the guy for the Democrats. Every once in a while, someone will say, well, what about Hillary Clinton? She's exhausted. She's not doing this. She had her shot, and that was it. Once Obama took the spot, she's not going back for more. And the Democrats are certainly not going to throw her up. It's just interesting when people look at Hillary and say, you know what, maybe Hillary would have been better. I can't tell you how many times I've been somewhere and somebody's made that comment, but she's not going in that direction. So it's Obama. He's the incumbent. He's going to represent the Democratic Party, no question about it. That's not a secret, of course. With the Republicans, we don't know. It's all shaking out, and now that we are going to the primaries, by the end of the spring, we'll know maybe a little bit clearer of a picture, certainly by June, and that's pretty obvious. I've said that a bunch of times. You look at the schedule, and you can figure it out. It's like a NBA championship during a normal season. Oh, there they are at the end of spring. Looking like they're running away with it. Who's it going to be at the end here? And that's what's going to happen. But to me, if I had a question to ask, like at the Iowa debate, they're going to take questions, right? What would my question be? And that's coming up on December 10th. What would you want to grab the mic and ask anybody who's on the stage? What would that question be? And, you know, it leans toward the economy with me, like where we're headed in the economy, because I always have the open-ended question of, when are we ever going to have a budget? When are we going to have a budget? Nobody else in America, nobody else in their own little universe, in their households, in cities that are big and small, you know what happens when you don't have a budget. You know what happens when you go over budget, not by a little bit, by a lot. Well, what do you do? You have to reel it in. You have no choice. And we're still not reeling it in. So if Herman Cain drops out, which he will, I'd be shocked if he sticks in it, but, you know, who knows? He certainly has the will to keep doing it if he wants to. But if Herman Cain drops out, then you have now really Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, and you have Rick Santorum, you have Ron Paul, congressman from Texas, Michelle Bachmann, but it's really a two-horse race, even though I think Ron Paul should definitely be considered. If I were Ron Paul, I would say forget it, and I'm jumping into the libertarian lane. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to just say forget it, the gloves are off. But the fear is if Ron Paul does that, well, forget it. There's no way. When you look at votes, how's that going to all break down? So if it truly at this point is Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, and you wanted to narrow it down and you had the questions for those two, what would the question be to Romney Gingrich? I think one of the questions I would ask, if I just had the one question, I might go to the healthcare question, because at that point nothing's decided as far as the Supreme Court's concerned on the individual mandate. I would probably go the healthcare route, because a lot of people are set to get slapped with increases in their insurance, and people are talking about how lousy their insurance is, and we still have a mess when it comes to our healthcare system. It's not shaking out, it's not at all getting sorted out, and we don't know what's going to happen with the individual mandate anyway, but just what's happening with people's policies from year to year, I probably would focus on something there. Like, why can't we have, how about insurance reform? I know there's big lobbies, I know that's the thing, and they've got a grip on you know, what's happening in D.C. with powerful lobbyists, even though, oh, we don't do that anymore, not really. There are certain rules. I would say, what about insurance reform? What about the chance to be able to shop around for this insurance, erase the whole state line thing, and have a competition which would make it better for anyone in America who's getting jammed up by astronomical rates and, frankly, subpar, you know, health care? That would be my focus. And then I could do the obvious thing about what are the plans to get a balanced budget? What are you going to do? How are you going to work with Congress? All that kind of stuff. So back to the Cain question, if it really is down to that, Ginger White is the thorn in his side. And Ginger White, as you all know by now, is saying she had a 13-year affair with Cain. And, you know, his chances of winning the Republican nomination, no matter what. I mean, really, what are the chances at that, this point? The Gallup polls show it. The latest Gallup poll shows that Romney and Gingrich are in the front, and this is November 21st. Romney has 20% of likely Republican voters. Gingrich, 19% in a virtual tie. Kaine, 16%. Now, Ron Paul, who for some reason gets discounted, I think, too much, way too much, because of his ideas are now being stolen by everybody else. But anyway, Ron Paul, 10%. So he's hanging in if you look at the fact that Romney had 10. I mean, it's almost double, or it is double. But Ron Paul could really sink somebody that if he decided, if it's going to be Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich, if he decided to just say, forget it, this is my swan song, I'm going to really go for it, I'm just going to run heavy and hard, I'm going to do the third party thing and see where it falls. I wonder if the third party now, would you give the third party a shot? If it was Ron Paul and he jumped to that, how much of a shot would you give him where he's not part of the pack now? Not part of the pack. Yeah. And earlier in the week, we told you, because you know I am the poll princess, about the positivity intensity score, which is wild. This is one of the things that Gallup does. It shows how people react to candidates in a positive manner or negative. You know, they just don't trip the switch. Kaine's positivity intensity score dropped from 34. He was sporting a 34 in mid-October to 9. He has 9 as of a day or two ago. So people are not reacting positively to Herman Kaine anymore, even though some of you are really not happy with what many of you have termed in emails to me, the vilification of Herman Kaine. I want to know what his wife is thinking after all this. They haven't had, as you heard at the top when we were talking with Ellen Ratner, they apparently haven't had much of a conversation over this because they haven't been around each other as he's campaigning. But really, what is her take on this woman? I mean, not that she's going to come out and say that, but her take on her husband and the beating he's taking and whether or not he should try to weather it. I bet you that she's saying just end it, just end this misery, because it's got to be tough on the family. Has to be. His wife didn't know about the fact that he had this so-called a female friend for all these years. They've been married for 43 years, and she didn't know anything apparently about Ginger White and the alleged 13-year affair with Kaine. And she says she's been on TV all over the place saying that, you know, she was hooking up with him in different cities and has gifts from him and all that other sort of stuff. I don't think we've heard the last of that soap opera.